Are you afraid to shepherd? Many elders are afraid to do the deeper relational work of shepherding because they simply lack confidence. They may not know what to ask, or they may not know what to say in response to a member asking a deep question. Mm-hmm. Regardless, elders do need confidence in order to develop healthy shepherding practices. I'm Bart Schoaf, husband, father of three, with experience in pastoral ministry and radio ministry.
And I am Eric Wallace, president of the Institute for Uniting Church and Home. We are here today with Pastor Ben Taylor. I have known Ben for most of his 30 years as a church planter and senior pastor. He is currently the associate pastor at Timonium PCA in Timonium, Maryland. He is passionate about discipling people into the gospel. Ben and his wife, Tracy, have three adult children. What is the one thing that gives an elder confidence and why?
Well, I think the main beginning point isn't so much looking for personal confidence as much as being mastered by the same gospel that we say that we are ministering to others. What does the gospel say as to the pathway of effective ministry with people? So, for example, Scripture clearly teaches, the gospel teaches, that the work of the kingdom, the work of the Spirit, is mysterious. There's an organic aspect to this enterprise that we're involved in. Of course, there's tracks that we need to run on. There's principles. There's truth that needs to be our guide. But in terms of the other aspects of, you know, of our heart, the other aspect of gaining confidence in the process. To me, just speaking personally, my confidence in this area grew exponentially from understanding that God cares a whole lot more about this than I do. And He's at work, involved in working in this area far more than I. So think about, for example, also the analogy that Jesus uses in John 15 of the vine and the branches, where you look at, okay, what am I responsible for versus what is God responsible for? And even in helping people work through issues related to anxiety, on the light of what Dr. Powlinson, David Powlinson, taught in one of his little booklets, he tells us to think of two circles. The big circle that are aspects of what God is responsible for, and the smaller circle that is what we're actually responsible for. And anxiety and fear often comes from when we're trying to take things out of the big circle and put them in our little circle. Isn't it true that we tend to become most anxious about things that are not under our control? And so fear and anxiousness is a way of somehow gaining some control. Well, how about in the enterprise of shepherding, the enterprise of ministering the gospel? Well, God is responsible for bringing change. Just as in the vine and the branch analogy, it is not the branch that produces fruit. It's the vine that produces fruit. And that's why Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. So the branch by itself can't produce fruit, you know, apart from me, except you abide in me, you can do nothing. So my only responsibility in personal growing in personal fruitfulness is to abide in Christ, cling to Him, stay close to Him, feed much upon Him. We need to marinate ourselves in the means of grace. And it's amazing how you find your confidence growing. I was willing to go on a mission trip to Siberia for 2 weeks. We were the second group of missionaries to go into this area, and I had never been out of the country. And I remember after arriving there and the brothers that we were ministering to, they would ask, what motivated you or what made you come here to us? And I was thinking about Paul's teaching in Romans 1 about, you know, his being a debtor to the Jew and to the barbarian. And so I said, well, having been given what I've been given, having received the equipping I've received, I felt a sense of needing to be able to share this with those who haven't had that opportunity. That I felt not a sense of indebtedness that like hanging over me, but just this motivation to and a stewardship of what I've been given to share and to use in the lives of other people. So I was not even thinking about, can I do it? My thought was, you know, the love of Christ is controlling me here, and these brothers need this desperately. And so this was during the early days of perestroika, and where there was an open door, and I don't know how open it is now, but there was that sense of wanting to take opportunity of the time that we had. So I would say that, of course, over time, doing it more, having more experience, of course, there's going to be some confidence. But really, if you're, I really believe that your time of personal worship, your applying the gospel to your own heart and the issues of your own life, and you talking to your own soul, why are you disquieted within you? And learning to walk through these means of grace that God has given you, being mastered by the same gospel, and you see the change happening in your life, you're going to be even more motivated to move toward others. You're going to be motivated to be engaged because you're doing it in a power greater than yourself. So more, I think that's to me the greatest source of confidence is yourself walking in the means of grace, marinating in it like a pig, and drinking deeply from the wells of grace and seeing God work his work in your heart over time. For me personally, that's what increased my sense of trust and confidence in what God is able to do even through me.
Ben, it's been great to hear you say that it is foundational to know that we have to trust the Spirit, that we start by abiding in the vine. We understand that we don't get our confidence from ourselves. We get it from Christ.
Yes.
We get it from what he has imparted to us. Doing that work of believing.
Yes.
So many times we think, okay, what are the tasks I have to do? What are the work I have to accomplish?
Right.
Believing, actually resting in Christ is the ticket. And then there's that growth phase.
Yes.
Let's talk about growth.
Great.
Let's focus on the growth. How does the elder then grow in confidence? Is it just a matter of abilities getting better, or is there actually more of just faith that grows? How is it growing?
Well, yeah, I think it's both faith and experience and sharpening your sword. Sharpening the sword, I know, primarily refers to being equipped better, sharpening the saw in terms of more effectively being able to cut down trees. So there is that time of equipping. I really believe, too, again, I think the coaching component in this area is so very needed. Skills can be learned. Principles can be coached.
So I you're saying get a coach.
Well, the senior pastor should be,
right,
or the other members of the staff should be. Now, I'm not the first one to say this, but the church is one of the organizations that are most guilty of saying, "All right, this is what we need to do. Now go do it." Going to immediate delegation without equipping and without good, healthy accountability and coaching. And let's face it, too, I don't often remember 2 weeks later what I preached 2 weeks ago. But I do remember what I spent time with people and helping them work through. I remember those vividly. And so it's amazing. You know, Jesus didn't really spend the majority of his time preaching sermons. He spent the majority of his time building his life into primarily 12. And they turned the world upside down. So this equipping part, this discipling part, is so essential. So I do think that part of the confidence is spending time alongside with the pastor where he himself is imparting what he's been given. And so, you know, he, in a sense, does ministry with the elder. The elder sees him, and then he then is given the freedom to do it with the senior pastor watching. And then the senior pastor or the pastor on staff evaluates, and then he in a sense assesses and helps them to see where they can grow and be stronger in that area, and then eventually they're given freedom to do it themselves. But there has to be that time of Jesus with Jesus. It was life on life, and not just simply life on curriculum. It was life on life. And so I think it's essential that it be seen. Let's face it, I mean, truth is more caught than taught. I mean, you have to see it, and for it to actually change your life. And so that was Jesus' methodology. So I think we need to be willing. I mean, we need to be willing to go back to that methodology. But let's face it, the honest challenge is, it costs. Where you're not only sharing what you know, but you're sharing your very life, and there's a cost.
Now that's very encouraging, all that you've said. I mean, that encourages me, brother,
yes,
you know, to hear you say these things, because it is so counter what we are, what we experience, what we see that passes as normal. So that's very, very encouraging. What about an elder, though, that would still say to you, would say, you know what, I'm very introverted. I mean, it's just not my gift. I don't have the gifting of being able to talk to people. I'm not extroverted. What do you say to an elder who has that struggle?
Well, introversion is not a problem. I mean, if you look even at evaluate Jesus' 12 disciples, look at the different personalities that were there. Some you don't hear much about. You hear a lot about Peter, but not much about Andrew. But yet Andrew is the one that brought the little boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He's the one that brought his brother to Christ. So I don't think introversion is a problem unless the person sees that as such an obstacle that they can't be faithful to their calling. Then that's another level. But just having a personality that's a bit more inverted or a bit more introverted, that in and of itself is not a problem. Some of the finest pastors and ministers are introverted by nature. Bill Bright, who founded Campus Crusade for Christ, now it's called CRU, he was a classic introvert. One of the pastors that I respect greatly, Randy Pope at Perimeter in Atlanta, he'll be the first to tell you he's a classic introvert. And yet look at how many people God has used to lead others to himself and how many churches he's planted both here and internationally. So if that's an introvert, give me more of that. But the fact is that they have this overwhelming sense of the grandeur and the greatness of Christ. They understand the power of grace as being the foundation of their true identity, and they trust in God to work in and through them. They understand the vine and the branch analogy. They understand that we're being transformed as we behold Christ. They understand, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit. They're strong in their weakness. That's the principle of grace. And so whatever weaknesses you have, it may not be introversion. It may be even extroversion can be a problem. Where are you? You just love hearing yourself talk. That can be a problem. That can get in the way. But God is able to smooth that. He's able to, you know, like a really skillful potter, he's able to mold and shape and even use your weaknesses to advance the glory of the kingdom. I mean, let's face it. I mean, Paul says that we have this treasure in clay pots. We're clay pots. And yet the treasure we have is greater. And so that's the glorious thing, so that the power of Christ may be made more evident. How could Paul say, I'd rather boast in my weakness? That's not a classic American virtue. That I'll gladly boast in my weakness so that Christ may receive greater glory. So there's actually this great, wonderful freedom for understanding your complete acceptance by God in Christ. It gives you the capacity to be very honest with yourself, even brutally so, without fear of condemnation. And like one pastor I heard say, he said, you know, if whatever name you called me, if you knew how I really am in my heart, you would say, you know, I would say it's a compliment compared to the way I really am, no matter what you call me. There's great freedom in that. There's great freedom in knowing the extent of your forgiveness, the freedom you have in Christ, and of the fact that God can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. And so, yeah, so let it be that, yeah, I've got these weaknesses, but greater is he who is in me. So that to me, as an elder, no matter if they're introverted or extroverted, they still need the same gospel, the same Holy Spirit to work in and through them.
That is good news. Without naming any names or turning this into some kind of reality show, can you tell us a story about an elder, perhaps one that you've worked with, who found this confidence difficult to muster up?
Mm.
What you did, what you recommended, and if you saw growth?
Mm. Well, even collectively, as a group, you know, when you our elders go through particular training and then they're evaluated and then interviewed and then they have to be elected by the congregation. So even that time of training and preparation for ordination, you'll have guys who are counting the cost. I mean, Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? The guys begin to feel that weight. So that's why bringing the gospel to bear is so essentially important in terms of their grounding and their power for accomplishing this work. And so There have been occasions where a guy would say, "Oh, I remember having, especially a couple of elders who were classically introverted, who were they even called themselves nerdy. You know, they loved the computer technology, they loved the data, and all that stuff. But here's what happens: life happens. And when I say that, here's what I mean." For example, if you're a surgeon, what is going to help you grow in compassion for your patients? Well, it's your having to be on the table yourself, having to be operated on. And what happens even in these guys' lives, one particular elder I'm thinking of who was a classic introvert, but he went through a period of incredible medical challenges. And having to spend that much time in the doctor's offices and that much time being treated and in surgery and recovery, guess what he became really good at? His flock were primarily made up of elder people and shut-ins, having to spend a lot of time with them in the hospitals, driving them here and there. The compassion of that guy was unbelievable. And that's what you thought of, not his introversion. You just saw everybody's overwhelmed with his compassion because he's been there. So it's that combination of the work of the gospel through the Holy Spirit in experience that God used all that as tools in his tool chest to mold and to shape this guy to become, he really is, in all intents and purposes, a pastor and who is classically introverted. And he'll tell you the particular books, the particular principles, the particular things, and the particular experiences that were very shape, that God used to really shape his ministry. And so people love and respect that guy. And so, but yeah, he really took, these materials captured him. The gospel itself, understanding the means of grace that, and the doctrines of our church that are just glorious. And that points you to the immensity of who God is and how he uses very weak people to accomplish great things.
This has all been very helpful today. It's good to know that our confidence rests in and comes from Christ, no matter what our abilities or our challenges in life are. Until next time, this is Bart Schoaf for Eric Wallace and our guest, Ben Taylor. Uniting Church and Home offers articles and other resources on its website, UCHlink.org.